Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today? I have one of our returning guests who joins us once a month, every week, every month. He brings us jewels that you can take into your business and into your life. But I have some new friends for you to meet as well. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's some entrepreneur, there's some business owner, there's someone out here who needs this information. It, again, might help their business or their life. So while you're introducing your friends and your network to the Roundtable Talk Show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce a dear friend of mine, Mr. Sir Sanju. Now, Sir Sanju is the only knight that I know, an actual knight. I always say that every time he goes on the sh comes on the show. But Sir Sanju is an entrepreneur, and he understands what level of dedication and support is necessary to help make a business successful. Good morning, Sir Sanju. How are you?
I am awesome now that I'm here. Thank you.
I love when you're on the show. Why do you keep coming back?
I love the people that we meet. I love the topics that we discuss. It's kind of fun that you don't know where it's going to go, right?
It's not scary.
Nah, randomness is my best friend.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Sir Sanju. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm based out of Toronto, Canada, which is why I can't do anything about this right now. We're on full lockdown.
We're on full lockdown in California too. So if you watch the shows over the last couple of months, you will see the difference in my hair. Go ahead. I digress.
Well, you reach a point where your hair controls you, right? And you're like, all right, then. You do you. I am a entrepreneur. I own a few different things, but my primary baby is my marketing agency. As you know, we're global. We work with clients of all different sizes, all different industries. So like I said, I love the randomness of it. And you know, we've been blessed that, you know, we've been able to grow and through these times also help other entrepreneurs start their businesses or help them grow what they have so they don't fall behind as we go through this process of getting back to normal.
Why is that so important to you?
Well, I mean, someone at some point gave me a chance, right? And someone at some point gave me the advice that I needed to take it to that next level and do what I did. So you know, for me, it's a way to give back, and it's something that's very important to give back, in my opinion.
Sir Sanju, what have you seen in the last year as far as businesses? What I've seen is at the start of the pandemic, everybody went into freak out mode, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And then about 6 months later, we went into, or I feel like we went into, okay, we pivoted, we're online, we're going in that direction. And then in December, it seems like everybody was like, look, we just want to rest. We want to deal with family and we'll work on it again in 2021. And now it's January. Happy New Year, by the way. I don't even think I had an opportunity to say that. And we're up again. We're ready to go. We're excited. I feel the energy of the new year, but what do you see? What do you feel?
You know, it's essentially the same thing, right? I think the aspiration of different things. I know we're not getting political, but of a change of government, of you know, change of environment. You know, the hope of vaccines coming out and being administered. I think is getting people thinking now back into what do we need to do and how do we move forward. So planning has gone from, oh my God, to okay, how do I sustain myself? To now, okay, what do I need to do to ensure that when we are back at day zero, let's call it, you know, we're actually ahead of the game and we're moving forward.
What are some recommendations that you have for business owners or people in general? What do you recommend?
I think talking to a digital professional and understanding where to put your investments, you know, and where it doesn't make sense, but also looking to what you can do and understand what you can do to get ahead. Now, so that when you actually do reach that point that businesses are open or whatever your industry is, you're actually ahead of the game versus, you know, your friendly competitors that may have not made those investments or taken that time.
When you say investments, is there a particular area that you would recommend? Because for me, you know, and I think most entrepreneurs and small business owners, we have, I don't even like to use the term limited resources, because to me, that's not a wealth mindset, because I know that there are unlimited resources at hand. But if I have a certain amount of resources, Okay, would you recommend take that and put that towards your marketing? Take that, put that towards your website. Take that, put that towards,
Definitely.
getting an LLC. What do you think is the primary focus right now?
I think there's three equally important focuses. One is making your websites up to par, your contents where it needs to be, so that when people land there, they understand who you are, what you are, and hopefully helps you convert and get those leads. I think the second important part is investing heavily in SEO and pulling back maybe on the ad spend. So again, getting ahead on those keywords that, a year ago would have cost you a ton of money or would have been almost impossible to rank for, and taking advantage of this time to get ahead when people have pulled back those investments or those efforts. And I think the third is social media. I think, building relationships and foundations, building connections, building a little bit of PR behind your brand so that when you do relaunch, you have that backing behind you to make sure that you kind of, accelerate your success.
Absolutely, Sir Sanju. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Andrew Selipek. Andrew is the program coordinator of the Master of Arts in Mass Communication program with a specialization in social media at the University of Florida in the College of Journalism and Communications. He also teaches courses in the Department of Telecommunication at the University of Florida. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am excited. So, if I understood your bio correctly, you actually teach social media.
Yes. And I just actually want to go back a second because, you two were just talking about Canada and California. I'm in Florida. Everything's open, except for movie
No,
theaters.
we know. Don't rub it in.
I got a haircut on Friday. Like, just
No,
went
you
in.
okay? Wait.
You and
What
I
part
can
of
be friends.
don't rub it in? You know what I mean? Let's talk about social media. I am so jealous. I'll be talking on the shows and to my guests, and Sharif, especially in Florida, we're not locked down. I don't understand. I want to go out. I want to leave the house. To me, it's the same virus. It's the same disease. They say it's because we won't stay in the house. I'm like, have you seen Florida?
Yeah, I mean, there's literally, you can eat in restaurants, you can go to bars. I was at the gym last night. The only thing that's closed is some movie theaters, and even then, they'll still do limited seating. So, I mean, come to Florida, we're open.
I feel like there's some bias here. You must work for the Florida Board of Tourism or something.
I'm from Virginia originally, and I know lots of Virginia is closed, and that's why I'm glad I'm in Florida, where, like I said, we're open for business and doing stuff. I mean, even you can look at the difference in Disney between Florida and California. You can go to Disney in Florida, but there's nothing open in California.
You said that with so much pride, though. You know what I mean? You're just so proud of the fact that I am literally in a prison, not of my own making. And everybody's sitting around the house like, oh, we should go somewhere. I'm like, go where? Even when, and I'm bougie, by the way, you'll get to know me. Even when things were kind of open and they had outdoor dining, all they did is put up big tents in the parking lot. And I'm like, I'd just rather Postmates than sit in a parking lot. There's oil on the ground. And you want, I'm sorry. Andrew, tell us about yourself, please.
Obviously, I am from Florida. I teach at the University of Florida. I teach social media courses, media courses, sports courses, entertainment courses. I've taught a number of courses during my time at UF. I've also worked as a radio reporter as well. So, done different things in the media. And as you mentioned, I do teach a course on social media. I'm teaching it this semester. And the course meets in person. It's not an online course. We have in-person
You
students.
just keep rubbing that in, though. Like you just you gonna work it into the whole show. Somehow I feel that.
If I am being honest, only about a quarter of the students are in the classroom. The other three-fourths are watching on Zoom. So it's not a full in-person situation, which we haven't had since last spring in March.
Okay,
But
now I feel for you.
that is the day job, teaching at the University of Florida.
Okay, so what are the typical students for your social media class? Are these entrepreneurs? Are these people who want to incorporate it into their business? Why are they taking a course on social media when most people can say, hey, just set up a Facebook, set up a Twitter?
Well, I think the big thing for students is that, they have been, I mean, a college student right now, is generally going to be about 20 years old. So I mean, they were born in the 2000s. Facebook came out 4 years later. You already had some social media that existed by the time they were born. And for them, it's just what they've grown up with. It's all they're accustomed to. So a lot of it is kind of giving them, having them take a step back and understanding the impact it's had on every industry. There's really nothing it hasn't touched. And then getting them to think about how to use it properly, getting them to think about how they can use it properly to build a personal brand. And then there's a huge part about it of how to protect themselves online. Because if we're going to talk about using social media, you also have to think about how much data you're giving away, who's using that data, who's profiting off of that data. So there's a lot that goes into that broader discussion, particularly from a media perspective, when we're also talking about the news that we get on social media, and how that information that we're getting impacts our view on society, on culture, on politics, on ourselves, on each other. So yeah, we spend the whole semester talking about social media, and I could do a part A and a part B of the class and still not cover everything, obviously.
Wow, no one knew that social media would be this huge. That's amazing. Andrew, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Lauren DeCarli. Lauren is the founder of Panero's Clothing, a new fashion-focused, a small batch sustainable clothing brand based in Los Angeles, focused on quality and ethical styles. After being a top-selling designer for a wholesale fashion company for 10 years, producing a new collection every month, Lauren knows how wasteful, polluting, and unsustainable the fashion industry can be. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Okay. Are you gonna let Andrew talk to us like that?
No.
that's all right. I'm gonna go get lunch later and leave the house.
Lauren, talk to us. Talk to us about Panero's Clothing.
Yeah, so I was a designer in the wholesale industry, like you mentioned, for 10 years. And, you know, I got a lot of my experience there and was able to travel and see the industry on different levels and understand that in that business model, it's really not sustainable to be producing so much clothing every single month. And, you know, all of the samples that go into just creating one collection, editing it down, there's tons of waste. So I really wanted to create a better alternative, which is why I founded the company. And we started just upcycling vintage Hawaiian shirts here in Los Angeles. So I sourced everything here in LA. They're unisex. So it's very, I really wanted it to be inclusive for men and women and for multiple body types. So we started with the upcycled shirts and then moved on to a ready-to-wear women's collection that's all ethically produced in Indonesia. I traveled there and sourced the manufacturers myself, just making sure everything was done right and that we weren't like cutting any corners and really being able to feature the people behind the clothes. I think there's a big disconnect with the fashion industry, especially these days where, you know, like fast fashion companies are, you know, they're putting out pieces at such low prices, which is not sustainable, and most likely they're cutting some corners. And there's no connection between the person that actually made their clothes. I think people forget that there is someone behind the clothes that you wear. So I really wanted to feature who we work with, the artisans in Bali that we work with, everyone included.
Wow, I like that. So let me just ask you this, because I like to ask about trends and what you see going on in the world. Do you feel that more people are concerned about who makes the clothing now, as opposed to, okay, I just want to get that off the rack and it looks good on me?
As opposed of like what the brand is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily even the brand, but just the clothing item itself.
I think there has started to be a switch, as opposed to like, does, you know, I just want to get this trend, and then starting to really think about, all the practices, and processes behind the clothing. I mean, I'm really excited that there's been more of a push for sustainable clothing, but it's also turned into a trend. So there's a lot of companies that say they're sustainable or they say that they have sustainable practices, but they're not living up to what they say and they're not being transparent.
What defines sustainable? What makes it sustainable?
So it's hard to say because it's not something that's regulated within the industry, which I think could be something that is worked on for the future, because I believe it's very confusing for consumers. It's not like, oh, it's certified organic or, FDA approved. There's nothing really like that for the fashion industry. And so I think it gets very confusing, but we like to call it inclusive sustainability. So we really focus on educating our consumer on our responsible manufacturing processes, the eco-friendly fibers and fabrics that we use, producing less waste, producing less pollution, and really being transparent about all of our practices and everyone included in the company, from the models that we use to the sewers that we use to the farmers that grow the cotton and produce the fabric. So really everyone included.
I love it. Lauren, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Denise Walsh. Denise is a proud wife and mother, former clinical psychologist, motivational speaker, and multi-million dollar earning entrepreneur. Denise started her career by working with families at a local mental health agency as a clinical psychologist, but left the practice to pursue a successful career in the direct sales industry. Her impact as a leader in that field, coupled with her certification and experience as a life and dream coach, has given her the unique ability to help people tap into their ultimate potential and find their greatness. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good morning, you guys. I'm in Michigan, I have to say.
That was my question.
Yeah. Look, people are leaving California left and right. When are they going to start moving out of Michigan here?
What is it like? Are you completely locked down, or what's the situation?
Mostly restaurants are closed. Yeah. And that should open in the next couple weeks here, but movies are closed. I think things are, I don't know. We've been doing so many private events that I just call the owner and say, we got a group. Will you let us in?
Okay. I don't know.
That's what you do, right? And it goes underground sometimes.
Denise, I like you because you are describing my birthday party on the 31st of March this year, because everyone is like, Sharifa, it's a Zoom. Why are you inviting all these people? I'm like, okay, wait until you see. You'll see. Denise, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, yes.
Honestly, you're a truth speaker. Like, you cut straight to the chase.
Well, I think when you're an entrepreneur, you're solutions focused. So instead of sitting back and waiting for the solutions to come, we go, all right, well, what can we do? Right. And I've got two little boys that need to get their energy out. So we're kind of figuring this out. But prior to all of that, as you read, I was a clinical psychologist and I worked 5 years in a local community mental health. And I got into that field because I was working in New York City with New York City foster kids, and I fell in love with helping people know how awesome they are. You know, I was working with these kids who were, their guard was up, their head was down, their belief was low. And throughout the summer, I saw so much transformation, just being in a safe place that where people loved them, you know, that I was like, everybody needs this. And so I got into the field of psychology, but I quickly learned that I was working with people that didn't really want help in a system that couldn't really help them. And so about 14 years ago, I started in direct sales and was able to quit my full-time job and do business coaching within my team. And I've continued to expand that because, again, I'm like, not everybody wants to, do a home-based business, but everybody needs this information. So I've written books and journals and offer coaching programs to help people really break through their own personal glass ceiling and live a life that they love.
All I can see is like one portion of your life, like just the desk behind you. And already I'm like, your life is great. Like, your life just seems very wonderful to me. me. I want whatever
we're doing underground parties, you know.
No, this
but
is
it's very true. I think so many times we live as zombies that, you know, like we're doing the thing, going through the motions, and nothing changes and we wonder why. And my job is to kind of light that spark within people to ask some of those hard questions, to heal through the things that have been holding us back and to actually make changes that are sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a friend, a dear friend of mine. I love her like my sister. She's a caregiver, in-home caregiver. And she had a patient who had been with her for some time, became like family, and she lost him. He passed away on January 14th of this year. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to her on January 16th. And she said to me, she's like, Sharifa, I'm depressed. And I was like, no, you're not depressed. Well, not that I'm a doctor, but this is what I said to her. I said, you're grieving. You know, so often we it's the verbiage, it's the semantics, you know, and I feel depression to me is not the same as if you have, you just went through this traumatic experience and you're feeling it. So yeah. I think, what do you think about that situation in the verbiage and terminology, Denise?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is you think about the whole world is kind of going through some trauma this past year. And there has been this low grade depression that we've all experienced. And there's pieces to that puzzle, right? We have to honor those feelings. We don't need to stuff them or say they're dumb or bad or judge them in any way. But then we get to ask ourselves, what next? And as you mentioned, with any sort of death or loss, or pivot or change that was not, you know, your life's going in one direction, all of a sudden, whoop, here we go, whether we like it or not. That's transition. That's grief of this old way of doing things and trying to figure out this new way. So we all in our own little worlds have had to work through some of this stuff over the past year, I've found, whether it's a stay-at-home mom who's now doing virtual school, or it's, you know, trying to do school and work at home, or your gyms are closed and activities are closed. Like everything has been pivoted without our knowledge or consent, right? Like to us essentially. And so we all have this piece of grieving we get to do. And I say get because as you heal, you get to rise and then find those communities that you can support and communicate with and talk to and kind of start this new path together. But grief is a real emotion that really needs to be felt and worked through and honored, because we really grieve when we loved what was lost. And so there's certainly, you know, being grateful for that loved relationship and allowing that grief and that those feelings to come through.
That was beautiful. Lauren, when you made the transition over the last year and refocused on during this pivot in the last year, how was it for you?
It was definitely challenging. I mean, the clothes I design are meant to be worn out. So that was definitely challenging that everyone's inside. So it's how do you relate to the customer still? And how do you reach them now that they aren't going out? We had a lot of live events planned and pop-ups where, you know, we would be meeting our customers and they could try on the clothes and just really like educating them and learning more about them. So it was definitely challenging, but it's also like everyone's mentioned, like learning how to pivot and learning like how to set yourself up so that in the future when those things are available that you're ready.
Mm-hmm. How's it been for you, Sir Sanju?
It's been interesting. I mean, it's weird. We've, you know, grown, but in a way that it's very holding pattern. So people are signing on, but they're waiting for to see how things go before they make their investments or do what they got to do. So it's like a false start, right? It's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, wait, you know, we can't book that one yet kind of thing. And, you know, even to Lauren, like we're supporting a company very similar to what you do. And it's, you know, it's dynamically just shifted like that. Like it was nuts, right? Because a lot of fashion is, especially when it's not fast fashion, is touchy-feely, fit, You know, understanding how it makes you feel and then getting that across. And to do that through, you know, a social post or a video on your website, it's really tough, right? And then to keep that sustenance going when now suddenly where you had maybe 30 competitors, you have 300 competitors because everyone just went online, right? So, you know, this is really interesting to see those stats. And for this client, that November and December were actually not their best years this month. Right. I mean, the months this year, rather, right, is actually, you know, September, October. So how everything is shifting and how expensive it's becoming to market these types of industries, it's mind blowing. Right. And it'd be interesting to see if when things go back to normal, does everyone kind of stop shopping online and, you know, give companies like yourself a chance to kind of get back up there. Right. And fight again.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, what are your thoughts about getting back up there and fighting again?
Fighting for...
I mean, as far as I was kind of being funny a little bit, Andrew, I had to be serious with you. I meant as in regards to the conversation and Sir Sanju's point, as far as people getting back up, starting over, whatever that pivot or whatever that grief process or what they've been going through.
Well, I mean, I think it's tough because... You know, I was joking before about Florida being open, but, you know, many small businesses have gone under and many people have lost their small businesses and there's not been the relief that there was expected. And then there have been so many, you know, particularly outside of Florida, but there have been a lot of starts and stops. It's we're going to open up, they're going to close for 2 weeks. And if you're a restaurant, if you're a small business, you think, okay, well, we'll do this 2 week hold. I can maybe keep my employees on furlough for a little bit. And then 2 weeks later, you know, you have a governor or a mayor saying, no, we're going to do 2 more weeks. And, you know, it was just unsustainable for so many small businesses and, you know, a lot have just gone under. And it's really sad because it's kind of leaving us in a lot of places with just sort of the big, you know, mega stores and the big box stores. And we're left with, you know, restaurants that you can see anywhere in America. And that's kind of when, for me, one of the most disappointing parts, because I prefer the small restaurant. I prefer the local restaurant. I prefer the local store. And that's what's gotten hurt the most. You know, we don't have to worry that McDonald's was going to go out of business. We didn't have to worry that, you know, even some of the, you know, Best Buy was going to go out of business. But that's what we're looking at is these smaller businesses that are going and hurting the most. And the flip side to that is, you know, I'm actually going to disagree a little bit with the knight from Canada. I think people have gotten too accustomed to shopping online, and I don't know how much it's going to go back. You know, you look at Instagram, and they've just made it that much easier with their recent update to make purchases on there. Bezos is clearly making a lot of money. We know that Zuckerberg wants to find more ways to monetize the social media platforms. You know, this past Christmas was... you know, an Amazon Christmas, because that's where people did their shopping. And I just don't see people going back to the mall. I don't see people deciding I'm going to drive to the mall and park so far away and stroll up and down the stores to hope that they have the size that it's going to be online. And people are going to find that through social media, one-click shopping. That's where we're going to be looking, which again, hurts small businesses the most, because it's going to be the big businesses that have the easiest time putting those ads in front of us and having all that product. So that's a long answer to a short question, but I think we're looking at sort of the new future of online, digital, and, you know, sadly, looking at so many of these small businesses that we've grown up to love, not necessarily being there once we get through this particular pandemic situation. That's my downer response to that question as well.
It wasn't a downer. That was the perfect answer. Exactly what I was looking for. Your point of view, Sir Sanju, would you like to comment on
Andrew? Well, I mean, it's perfect. You're perfectly correct. I mean, I'm hopelessly optimistic at times, but you're right. I mean, the way Facebook is going, Google is going, Amazon, like everyone's getting into just shop. Like you don't need a website at this point in your life. Like you could literally sell through social media and Google Shops and never build a website for yourself. So
I think that's a bad idea. I'm just going to cut in there because I always say that. And people say, I personally think that's a bad idea because I always look at your website as an electronic business card. That's what I call it. That's my thoughts on it. And there you can make it into a brochure. So yes, it's wonderful to have an Instagram. People make money through Instagram, but I think you still should have your website and your brand. That's just my point.
I agree. I mean, my biggest touting to everyone is that's the foundation of everything.
Yes.
Right. It's your conversion place. It's your education place. It's everything. So I do agree. I just think that there's going to be a new generation that's rolling through that probably will phase out websites eventually. It may not be completely, but it'll definitely reduce.
Okay. So then how is it that if your entire business is housed, let's say, on one social media platform, what happens if, God forbid, that social media platform is no longer there?
You call Andrew.
Good answer. Denise, I would love to be your
coach. Right? He'd be on top of it. In all seriousness, I mean, never put your eggs in one basket, right?
Yes, that's my whole point.
Denise. Right, so actually, if you look at it, your website is the one basket.
No.
But now if you have multiple social, you actually have it spread out. Your risk is a little more mitigated. So if Zuckerberg wakes up in a bad mood and changes an algorithm, you still have, you know, Amazon or wherever it is that you're also doing it, or Google, to still sustain what you were doing. And, you know,
okay. But if you have your own server, or if you're on a server and you have the ability to have that content, then you can take that content from a, I'm not even going to name it because they're not paying me, but from one company to another, as opposed to, I mean, that's just my thoughts. I would love to hear from Denise.
Yep.
Well, I'm just thinking of consumer habits, you know, and you think of the habits that you are, that we're getting used to. We're all getting used to these new virtual habits. And I do agree that that's, even when things are open, there's parts of this that people will say, oh, I actually like this better. Oh, this is actually a bit easier. Oh, you know, so a lot of the change that have happened, that has happened over the past year. Yes, there was this pause, like holding our breath. What the heck is happening? All right. Then we, you know, we're treading water. Like, all right, what are we going to do? And some of the ideas that have been born out of this year work. You know, some people are going to still have igloos next winter, even if they don't need to, because it's fun, or they're going to still use their curbside pickup because it's different or it's easy or whatever it is. And so I think it's interesting to take a look and just say, all right, well, what has worked for me and what's not, and make decisions based on that. Of course, our customer being the primary source of that feedback. But I agree with social media isn't going anywhere. People are going to keep it even if we don't want it, because there's also some of these people, like this generation, that goes, get me the heck out of here. I'm locking up my phone and going into the woods, you know? But is that a long-term plan? No, they'll come back. So it's this balance of seeing what's happening and then really taking steps that are going to fulfill the need of our customer and the need of our souls.
I absolutely agree with you. I love your energy. I'm going to go hang out in the woods with you. When you head out, I'm heading
out.
That's
what I do. Like, get me out of here. This is crazy stuff.
Yes, but I agree. But for me, I've been working virtually for years. That's what I prefer. That's why I started this whole path, this whole journey, you know, years ago in 1994, is because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to be at home. And now so many people are waking up to this idea of working virtually. And they're like, you know what? This is a lot of fun.
There's a lot of companies that are going to say, oh, I'm wasting so much money on corporate space and paying all this overhead that I don't really need to. So there may be some switches and pivots people made that they'll keep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the areas or industries that have definitely opened up is education and authors as well. More books being written, more people going back to school. Have you seen that as well, Andrew?
Yeah, we've had a tremendous increase in the number of people who've applied for our online graduate programs during all of this, because they are sitting home and they are more accustomed to this type of technology. I mean, I think if we go back to, you know, January, let's go back to December of 2019, how many people had heard of Zoom? You know, we knew how to do some video conferencing. It was Skype, you know, Google Hangouts. Zoom kind of popped up out of nowhere, which is kind of sad for Microsoft and Skype of how they just dropped the ball completely. But, you know, it's kind of this interesting thing that we're just more accustomed to this now. And you see people who recognize that, you know, for especially graduate education that's online, you don't have to move to the town where that school is, which means you suddenly have the opportunity to take and study any program anywhere in the country. And then a lot of the programs are tailored for people who have a more traditional 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job, whether because the classes are asynchronous or if there are live portions, they're in the evening. So a lot of people are taking advantage of that to get new skills. It's different than what we might have seen, going back to the recessions of the past couple decades, the past decade or so, where people were more kind of concerned about, well, my job's being eliminated and everything else. The people who are going back to school are more in the white collar sectors where their job's not necessarily in danger, but they just have so much more free time. They're not commuted. I'm sure Lauren that could maybe talk about the LA commute. I had the DC commute before I moved to Florida. Round trip every day, it was 4.5 hours. Now here in North Central Florida, where we're open for business, is, I think it's like 7 minutes, but for people who live in these major metropolitan areas, they don't have that commute. They have so much extra time. And the flip side is kind of like what Denise was saying. There's no reason for a lot of people to live in New York anymore. There's no reason to live in Chicago anymore because everything's going online. You can do so many of these jobs. And the flip side to that is, a place like Vegas, where are these, you're not going to have these big conferences. And if you're a business and a company, you realize probably during this time, we don't need to send 10 of our employees out to Vegas and it cost us tens of thousands of dollars. We'll send them to a virtual conference. They can come to work. They can sit here, cost us $100, and they get all the same information. So the impact, the ripple effect on industries, I think is just, I don't think we've quite gotten there. And even back to Denise a little bit, one of the things that we haven't talked about, and I don't know if we even should because it's depressing, is the psychological impact that it's had on business owners, on families, on everybody of this lockdown. I'm joking around. I'm happy. Like, we get to go do whatever we want in Florida. If I was in Canada, if I was in LA, if I was out in Michigan where I know they've been closed, I would be really sad, miserable, and would have been for like a year now. And that's the impact across the board. We've been talking about entrepreneurs and business. I mean, that's an impact too, just your mindset of how that's going to affect you when you can't leave the home and you're just stuck.
Wow, I love that, Andrew. You are amazing. I would love Denise to speak on that, but I also wanted to add to that pot that you just gave us is one of the things that I've been seeing about Facebook is they pay a certain wage because of where they're located. But now some of their employees are moving to other parts of the country. So, okay, it's cheaper now for these employees. Should they still get the same high wage for where they used to work? That's the question that's been on Facebook's plate.
Well, I mean, they also have employees in other countries and they don't pay nearly as well as they do to their employees, say in Silicon Valley. So, I think Facebook, that Zuckerberg is one of the richest people in the world, not because he's, giving away his money. I'm sure he'll find plenty of ways to keep as much of it as possible. And there's all sorts of stories about people working in foreign countries for Facebook that, are sort of in charge of their censorship in terms of what content can go on there. And they're getting, pennies on the dollar compared to their American counterparts and having to do worse jobs for Facebook. So I'm pretty sure if Zuckerberg can find a way to save a dollar here or a dollar there and put more into his multi-million dollar mansions, wherever they may be, he'll do that.
Andrew, do you have a podcast?
No, I've spent so much time in the classroom. I don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I want to come to your course, whatever course it is. I'm signing up for your course too. Denise, let's talk about the emotional effect.
Well, there's two sides to this, right? So some of us have said, oh, this is kind of cool. We can meet with people all over the world and I can now connect and create products and programs and pivot my business and do so much online. How cool is this? It's easier and it works and I don't have to get out of my pajamas. But we miss the power of human touch. And yes. we miss the community. And so as many wine Zooms I can have, it's not the same as being in physical proximity with people and just feeling their energy and having it go off. You know, it's a powerful thing. So while we've done our best over this year to make virtual fun, I do think that there is that need for physical touch for that community. That's why dog sales have gone up this year as well.
And adoptions.
We got a new puppy over quarantine because prior to this, I used to travel like once or twice a month to do workshops and training. And now it's all online and I got way more time on our hands. So a couple of things that we have done and no one size fits all solution because everybody's story is different. Everybody has different aged kids. Everybody has different rules and situations, but we have really taken the energy I put into my teams and trainings and put it back into my home. I have become the chief fun officer of my home, says
me. Wow, I like that.
My children would agree, but but really saying, all right, well, how can we make home as fun as possible and doing different things, you know, going for walks with people, having friends over to play basketball, things like that, that can keep our spirits up.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I tend to do that here, but because you were going in a different direction and I just had to ask this question. Almost like all my career, I get to a point where I'm like, you know what, this is not fun anymore. This is not fun. I don't want to do this anymore. It's not fun. And people will say to me, Sharifa, life is not fun. Like, business is not fun. Going to work is not fun. But I'm listening to you and repeatedly you just said fun. Let's have some fun. And you're a psychologist.
Yeah. If we aren't, it's so, I agree with what you just said. So many times people would say normal people don't like their job. That's just the way life goes. And I'd say, well, that's not a life I want to live. I don't want to live 30 years as a job in a job I don't like. I want to listen to myself, listen to my soul. What do I enjoy? What am I good at? And if I have to make a pivot, it's not always easy, but I want to listen to that. Because again, the goal is not to hate our lives until we're 60 and then all of a sudden we love it. Right? We're all entrepreneurs here. We did that because we found a passion that doesn't feel like work. We're excited about it. And we keep moving in that direction. And so we can do that at home. We can have game night. We can do, I mean, there's a lot of virtual games you can do with family. Like, we've really just had to say, all right, how can we make home as much as fun as possible, since we're so used to all this traveling and adventures and being so busy that now we have the time and the space to create the best home life possible.
Absolutely. Lauren, what are your thoughts?
No, I 100% agree with what Denise said. And I think, you know, it's thinking about like, okay, there's so much that's out of our control. And I think we've learned that more in the past year. So it's focusing on what can I control? Well, I can control like how I want to feel today, or I can control what I want to do today. To make those changes and to include more fun in your life. You know, I did commute an hour and a half each way. And so part of my choice, what I can control now that I have my own company, is, okay, I am going to work from home. And when I do commute, it's my choice, or it's for things that I want to commute for. So I think focusing on what you have control over, has really helped me in the past year, not worrying about all these things that could happen or that are outside of my control. What can I control? What can I work on that will make tomorrow better?
Mm-hmm. So Sanju.
I mean, I totally get it. We have two young ones at home, one in homeschool, and it's a mess, dude. I mean, you got one crying because they don't want to take the nap, get the other one walking out of the room randomly because they're bored. You know, and just trying to keep everyone controlled and not lose it yourself, right? So, like, mad credit to my wife for handling that, right? Because I don't think I'd have the patience for that. But like you said, Denise, it's all about making it fun, right? So creating traditions, you know, Friday nights or game nights, creating, you know, Saturday, you go for a drive and make an adventure, like things like that, just to bring some normalcy or some happiness and some difference to sitting around the house and looking at, you know, the walls all the time. So, and with us, we don't really promote, you know, the whole watching TV and screen time and stuff. So for us, it's even that more important to get them out of the house and just explore a bit, right? So I totally feel it. I understand it. And, you know, I have so much respect for the people that are, you know, entrepreneurs and working and managing that at the same time, because it's not easy. It can't be easy. Like, it's literally every day is different, but not necessarily in a good way.
I just wanted to ask, if I remember correctly, didn't you just start back into the office for some time? You were at home, correct?
I was. It was quite the adventure. I was. And, you know, my wife, who helps out with the business, you know, she's still kind of doing both, right? So she's managing the kids and she's still, you know, hopping on calls and taking care of stuff. So, you know, it's I think it's superpower personally, but whatever. You know, but on my end, yeah, like I recently came back in the office just because I needed the quiet, I needed the space, right? And, you know, talking to people and having those conversations, you can't have, you know, a 3-year-old in the background running around talking about his potty training, right? So it's, I peed, right? So you're kind of as understanding as people are, there is still a bit of a line or, you know, in that respect.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Andrew, virtually going to school, working, what are some of the ways that people can deal with some of the things that happen in life?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Denise kind of hit it up ahead a little bit of, you know, we are social creatures. You know, we are in many respects a pretty simple species. We need others. We need to be around others. We need a sense of community. We need a kind of a feeling of belonging. And it's been very difficult during this time. You know, I don't have anybody coming in the room telling me they peed. I'm single. I have no kids. So it's very different.
That's about to change, Andrew. That's about to change. The people that watched you on this show, they moved to Florida just to meet you. Watch. Let me know. Come back. Keep me posted.
Well, if in, you know, let's say 9 months in a day, if it's that quick kind of a thing, you know, we'll see. But, you know, it is one of those things that I've said for a while that social media was a way for us to kind of develop a virtual community that we've lost. I mean, I think that there's been, you know, story after story, study after study. You know, we move away from the towns we grew up in. We're not involved in the sort of civic organizations like we used to be. We're not going to church and to synagogues like we used to. We're not involved in just kind of the different organizations that we used to, bowling leagues and poker groups. And, you know, that's kind of made it difficult, but in some ways it's made this kind of lockdown a little bit easier because we have made a bit of a switch to a virtual community instead of that in-person community. The problem is it just doesn't replace the in-person interaction and contact. And while it's a nice filler, it's not quite the same. And for that reason, you know, for us, it's been very tough because me personally, back in March, you know, we switched to online. We were in the middle of the semester. We had just come back from spring break because I still go on spring break. And, you know, it's Florida. We have beaches. And literally the entire state is a beach. So why not have spring break still? And then it was like, nope, you're going online. And, you know, it was that way last spring, during the summer and last fall. And, you know, it's just very different, a very different kind of situation. I missed being in the classroom. I missed the interaction. I missed engaging with students and seeing them. And we went back last week and it's such a different experience in many ways, including me wearing a mask in the classroom, the students in the classroom wearing masks, me trying to figure out, can you hear me through this mask? Do I need to put on a different mask? Like, is this good? You can't hear me. And then I'm itching because of the beard and wearing a mask the whole time. But I think what we're looking at is for companies, for individuals, for families, to some extent we are, and Sir Sanju mentioned this earlier, you know, we're waiting for that just moment of we're done, you know, that sort of D-Day moment, you know, the celebration with the ticker tape parade through, you know, New York. Hey, we're done with the virus. We can now go back to whatever semblance of what we had moving forward. And, you know, what that's going to look like, we don't know. But I think we're all just in just this hope for it. You know, I know a lot of that's going to be dependent on the vaccine. A lot of it's going to be dependent on a herd immunity. I can tell you, my mother got her first vaccine shot last Friday. So we're, you know, it feels like we're inching slowly closer. But until that moment, you know, all of this is kind of, we're making it up as we go along. And, you know, it can be fun, but it's tiring. And as Denise said, it's, you know, it doesn't give us that community. As Lauren said, you know, you can make certain changes now and you can do some new things, but it's better to maybe make that decision on your own and not have it required of you by a global pandemic that's killing millions of people. I think we'd prefer to make that decision for ourselves instead of having some unseen virus do it.
Absolutely. But when you were talking about your mask and, you know, being in the classroom, I'm more like Denise. I was like, this isn't fun. And then all of a sudden I wouldn't have that job anymore. That's why I've been divorced so many times, since I had to change jobs. I'd be like, you know what? Remember that job I had? No, I don't have that job anymore. Then I wind up in divorce court. So I can completely relate.
Well, I mean,
just so you know, Andrew, some, and you may already do this, but some of the teachers at my boys' school are wearing microphones with it, and that seems to help.
Yeah, but it's still the mask is still, Sanja, you can help me with this because the other three can't. The mask and beard is itchy.
Yeah, well, we're not friends. Yeah. apparently, there's something someone invented that holds your beard within your, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, all of a sudden, it's still going to get sweaty, gross, so.
Yes. So we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Lauren.
Okay. So I would just like everyone to know and take away that even within this pandemic, and I know we're not talking politics, but you know, just to think about, you know, where you're shopping and who you're supporting, and to just do your research on who you're shopping from, to making sure that they are practicing what they preach, and that they, you know, have the information to back up what they're saying, and to really show that they're being transparent with you.
Absolutely. Denise.
I feel like my life purpose is to help people tap into theirs. And so if you have been feeling this low-grade depression, like so many of us through the past year, making changes and pivots, or, you know, doing things you weren't normally doing, and are asking yourself the question, like, all right, what's next? How can I get back into the game here? I have a freebie for you, and you can go to denisewalsh.com/action, denisewalsh.com/action. And it's my Dream Life Action Planner that allows you to brain dump like what it is you want to do, what it is you're doing, and put it back in your calendar, so you know that what you're doing is taking you in the direction you desire.
I will definitely have to check that out. Thank you. I love free. That's my favorite number. Andrew, what do you have for us?
I would just say that, you know, being on social media right now can be kind of sad and depressing, because, you know, we do see some people going out and doing things, and then we judge, you know, their life compared to ours and the human highlight reel that is social media. And the big thing that we have to keep in mind is that, you know, comparing ourselves to others is always going to be a game that we lose. And the only, whether it's your business, whether it's yourself, whether it's your family, the most important thing is to just compare yourself to what you were yesterday and try to be better than that. And if you can, then you'll be successful. If you compare yourselves to others, you're always going to fall short. You're always going to feel like a failure. Again, if it's yourself, your family, your business. So just try to be better than what you were yesterday, and you'll eventually become what you want to be. That's my psychological tip of the day.
I stepped onto
Denise's foot there, I know, but that's something I think it's important to keep in mind when we're on social media.
Okay, so how do I sign up for your class? I want to take your social media class just because. I don't want to take all the classes, right? But I just want to take one just so I can be like, Andrew, I have a question. How do I sign up?
You would have to be an undergraduate student at the University of Florida. So
I'm moving to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Hey, again, we are open for business. If I don't get a call from the governor at some point after he sees this, and
like, do you know the governor? Because he has to pay you for this or something. Like, this is
I can't even get my stimulus check from the federal government. I can't imagine I'm going to get anything from the state government, but it would be nice. It would be nice.
I haven't gotten mine either, so I feel for you, Andrew. I'm moving to Florida just so I could come over and talk to you all this time. Thank you for that laugh. I needed it this morning. Sir Sanju, what do you think of today's show?
I think it was pretty awesome. I learned a lot. It was really cool meeting all of you. You know, I think that, you know, understanding how our lives are changing and being okay with it is very important, right? And accepting it and moving forward with it is super important for mentally, physically, emotionally, however you want to look at it. I'm going to up the offer, as I do. I am happy to offer a 1-hour consult with, you know, myself or anyone on our team. You can book that at au4a.com. That's the number 4. And as always, I'll leave you with a quote. If the world is cold, make it your business to build fires. And that's by Horace Traubel.
Oh, I love that. But I want to go back to this. I love that. That was great. But I want to go back to this 1-hour consultation. Yes, what are some of the things that you will consult on?
So we're happy to kind of tear apart the business or tear apart what you're thinking. Or if you have an idea and you just want to kind of figure out if it's a viable idea or what to do with it, you know, we're happy to do that as well. If you're looking to invest in another business, you know, we're happy to help you figure out the demographics and see if it's a feasible choice to make from a marketing perspective.
I love it. And they can do that again where?
AU4A.com.
Absolutely. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. But I need you to do a little bit more. Just go a little bit further. Dig a little bit deeper today. Share the show, but also visit our guests, visit their websites. They are in the Facebook post and they were here today to help you. So please support them. And if there's anything I can do to help you with your business, or maybe you might want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.